Welcome to the Continuous Delivery Podcast. My name is Zarar.
My name is Chaba.
I'm Kino.
I'm Cheesy.
Today's topic is DevOps, but unfortunately, that term is loaded, and it's like using the word socialism in a conversation because nobody quite understands what it means, or people have different interpretations of what that means. In today's podcast, we're going to try to actually just define what it means and maybe talk about how it might be misinterpreted or misunderstood by different people or different companies. Who wants to offer up the initial definition?
Obviously, DevOps is just dev and ops, right? When I think of DevOps, I think about giving developers the power and the tools and the freedom that they need in order to deliver software rapidly to their customers.
That's a very specific interpretation already, I find. Dev and Ops obviously has two parts in the word, but according to Patrick Dubois, who coined this term in the first place, if he could go back and redefine it, he would, because it's creating more challenges than it actually has provided answers. In my understanding, it's a combination of practices, but almost like a philosophy to reduce the time to value. So anything that actually helps you reduce time to value, which means ensuring that your code or your software goes into production, ensuring that when anything goes wrong into production, that you can maintain it or scale it or whatever needs to happen. Anything basically that reduces time to value through automation and setting up of partnerships between all the different stakeholders in a software delivery project is what DevOps speaks to, in my opinion.
So I'm going to go and maybe tie this back into maybe some agile principles, because as you guys both pointed out, there's a development aspect to it and there's an operations aspect to it. And traditionally, no matter what company you sort of worked in, unless it was very small, you had two groups handling the development of the software product and another group handling how it behaved in production, like support and any issues that came up. Those were traditionally two different teams. And whenever anything happened in production or even a new feature was requested, it got funneled to one of those two teams. And those two teams invariably needed to talk to make sure the software got delivered, you know, as per specifications and it did the right thing. And just having this boundary between these two groups of people created a handoff. And that handoff had a significant amount of waste in it, which came in the form of miscommunication, waiting, you know, all the seven software development wastes, or all eight, I guess I should say, all applied in that setup. So I always thought DevOps was a way to combat that waste so that the people who are creating the software are also responsible for it, and their knowledge that when they develop the software is retained when they are supporting it. And taking it one step further, I think it also has to do with having a common backlog of items, which contains both the feature requests that are new requirements that perhaps your product needs, and also existing support requests, bugs, and those kind of things, and putting them into one backlog so that they can be prioritized and delivered to production by the same people working off the same sort of knowledge book.
I would just kind of summarize it in a way that team, whoever takes care of the product, shouldn't be looking at individually at the software as, oh, this is where that UI and software and pipeline. They should look at the entirety of that ecosystem as their responsibility. And that development team should be in control and responsible for the entirety of the software, including the production deployment, including the all the work that the configuring that everything that ensures to what Hino and Cheesy mentioned to get it out in front of the customers.
Absolutely, and the one distinction that I wanted to make is that the reason that I went straight to giving developers the tools and empowering developers is because, unfortunately, the way I see that term used too often is in the context of creating a centralized team that owns everything and that builds out things and dictates how things happen. So, for example, a centralized team that owns the continuous integration, continuous delivery pipeline, and they build out the pipelines and dictate that teams have to follow this cookie cutter, you know, in order to be able to use the tool or whatever. And that absolutely is not empowering teams, and that is not enabling teams. So that, by my definition, is not DevOps at all. Now, does that mean that that's wrong? Well, if a company is just getting started with these ideas and these tool sets, then maybe that's a great way to get started. It's the training wheels, if you will, but the plan needs to include getting off those training wheels right away. The plan needs to include giving the ability to the teams to own their own pipeline, to build out their own environments, get to go back to what Csaba said, for them to own the entirety of the of what it takes to develop and deliver and deploy that code for end users.
Yeah, exactly. And then you don't have something like a DevOps engineer anymore. I see, we might all laugh about it, but I see those functions actually be advertised right now. People are looking for DevOps engineers. In my dictionary, that does not exist, as Cheesy says. It's a capability that needs to be completely integrated within the development team, and they need to be able to operate the production instance as well, to operate the environments in which they work, to set them up and configure them in a way that makes sense for them. And that is not different from quality. It's not a responsibility that is solely falling on the shoulders of quality engineers. It's a responsibility that falls on the shoulders of everyone involved in the project or in the product. And the same is true for operationals.
Is this siloing of DevOps and what we saw, is that actually a large organization problem? Because I can think back to my early development days, and I was working with a small company, and I remember us setting up the Oracle servers and us configuring these servers, and just because we just were a small development team and we didn't have a dedicated ops personnel, so it would be interesting to actually hear from listeners who work for small organizations, how do they handle that? I would be shocked if a small startup can afford to hire just a very specific DevOps engineer. So is this actually only a big organizational problem that we are trying to discuss here?
I see it as more than just a big organization thing. I mean, I've worked with, let's say, medium size or maybe large, small companies and that have had some of the same ideas as well. To be quite honest, I think this idea came from tool vendors and some of the companies that are selling, you know, DevOps pixie dust, you know, and that you can't sell things to developers, right? You got to have a department, you got to have an idea. So they started creating some of these concepts and some of these ideas. And I do want to go back and slice something here real quickly, if I may, because there are some things that you know, taking what we're discussing to its end, you could say that, wow, then a developer needs to know every single possible aspect of everything involved in runtime. And some people might argue that, well, that's not possible. And there might be a grain of truth in that. You know, for example, let's take an example of an organization that is running on Kubernetes. Does every developer need to be a Kubernetes expert? Probably not. That's probably not the case. But every developer should know and understand their container. You know, what is your code deployed into? And they should know how to set up a pipeline that builds their code that will push it into that container and then push that container to Kubernetes, for example. So I think that there is still a place for some specializations along the ways that are there, again, to help support and enable the team. But as far as the runtime, as far as the building, as far as the deployment, as far as the testing, as far as achieving quality, as far as running, making decisions around the experiments, et cetera, that all belongs within the team.
I want to pick up on the point that you brought up about vendors. And I think that kind of has lent to some of the confusion around the term. Because anytime there is like a new idea that comes up, when DevOps came up, the idea that development and operations, maybe look at them as a one set of people, one group of people managing one product. And there's always a transition period between organizations who are working maybe in two different groups and who are trying to come together in one group. And there's a knowledge gap on how to actually do that. How do you go from two to one? And I think vendors and their marketing departments are very good at proposing a solution or proposing some sort of way of working or an idea, usually through a product that they offer, which goes, okay, this is how you would do that. This is how you would combine the two into one group. And while and in that process, they usually end up bastardizing some ethos or principle that was intended in the original concept. And once people in these organizations work there for a long time, that becomes the reality to them. That becomes what DevOps means to them. So when they go to the next company, they take some of those ideas which came from a vendor and propagate that to another company and so on and so forth. And that's how kind of the original concept, the original nice idea gets diluted.
Yeah, I would say that I'm not sure if we should blame the vendors necessarily, because they're just trying to fulfill a need. And that need is often there because on these large organizations, there are so many challenges with these large deployments, with these large ecosystems. They just try to cater towards these. Like if I was a marketing department, I would go after these large organizations because they have the money.
Going back to something that Jesus said early on, that that larger organizations seem to strongly guide at least the developers into deploying applications in a certain way and actually restricting them in that sense. And by doing that, reducing the efficiency that otherwise could be achieved. Organizations see this oftentimes as the way to stay in control, the way to ensure that people do not make mistakes, the way to control that compliance is taken into account, and so forth. Instead of trusting individual developers and providing them with the tools that they need to be effective, to know what the right decisions are, to know how to address these challenges that they might that they might run into, that's where the problem lies, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's that control that, in my opinion, is the antithesis of DevOps. It's the opposite of DevOps. So using some centralized team to create controls and checks and balances is an organization that doesn't trust, an organization that doesn't want rapid delivery, and an organization, in my opinion, that will have an incredibly difficult time of achieving continuous delivery. So I just don't see that having anything to do with continuous delivery or DevOps. I see that as what we need to avoid.
Picking up on that point of control, and it's totally understandable why companies think that way. Because if you look at every management book out there, they teach you if you reduce variability, you increase efficiency. And that's like a fundamental management principle, which is taught in MBA courses, which is great. I mean, if you do reduce variability, chances are you may increase efficiency as well. But what you will also do is you will decrease the experimentation that happens in your organization because you've standardized everything. So when you don't experiment and you don't try new things, you miss out on a lot of opportunities. If you continue to control, you may be getting some level of efficiency, but you are missing out on a lot of opportunities by strangling your developers into working a very particular way, and your opportunity cost of working that way goes pretty high.
And that's not to say that those standard approaches might not add value. Cheesy added to it as well. If your organization in the beginning is fairly immature and is just on at the start of their journey to implement these practices, then providing a couple of options out of the box might be very valuable. But making these options the only options available and forcing everyone to go through those options, that's where the problem starts, right? So if you make them available as options for people to choose, if they find them valuable, then there is nothing wrong with that necessarily.
So what I heard so far from all of you guys that DevOps is this this philosophy that makes sure that we can get software out, and I say we as developers and the development community, and there is a full control over that delivery.
Yeah, I'll add one thing. It's all about, for me, it's all about time to value, right? Whether that's a software change or an infrastructural change does not matter. The whole philosophy, working together and automation, that makes that happen.
I'll just add to what Hino said. It's not only just time to value, but it's empowering the team to define how they want to achieve and minimize time to value.
And that concludes this edition of the Continuous Delivery Podcast. Goodbye.